there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, the news program that reports the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. I'm Rick Wiles. Welcome to the program. It's 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Well, the mainstream news media didn't know what to do with an incident that happened Wednesday night in the chamber of the House of Representatives as the House was voting to increase once again the national debt ceiling. In fact, what they were voting to do was to suspend the debt ceiling. The sky's the limit. There would be no limit on President Obama's ability to borrow more money. But something happened that night around 10 p.m. House stenographer Diane Reedy walked up to the speaker's podium and spoke into the microphone. She delivered a solemn prophetic warning to the members of the U.S. Congress. She told them that God will not be mocked. She also said that the United States is controlled by Freemasons who oppose the will of God. Now, here's a soundbite of some of her words that she spoke Wednesday night from the podium of the House of Representatives.
He will not be mocked. He will not be mocked.
Don't touch me.
Come on. He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No. It would not have been. Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, Diane's husband, Dan, is on the telephone right now to tell us the true story of what happened. We don't want to hear what the news media says about it. We want to hear exactly what happened. Dan Reedy, welcome to True News.
Thank you, Rick. It's so good to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, Dan, when I was preparing to leave my home Thursday morning, and we had Fox Television, Fox News Channel playing there on the TV set. And as I was just getting ready to go out the door, they showed a clip of your wife Diane, and of course they didn't play any of the sound bites of what she said, but they gave a few hints of what she said. And I just sat there on my sofa. I sat down on the sofa, and I was quiet, and I looked at my wife, who had walked into the room to see what was going on, and I said to Susan, I said, "Honey, when it reaches the point that God has an employee of the House of Representatives prophesy, then I know that judgment on this nation is very, very close." And I took the entire message very, very seriously. I knew that something very serious had taken place, and few people were spiritually perceiving what had taken place in the floor of the House. Of course, the media was just blowing it off, something odd, bizarre had happened. So I'm very appreciative of the fact that you are you've been willing to come onto the program and talk to us and tell us what happened. So let's start. First of all, You and Diane, do you live in the metropolitan Washington area? Are you in Northern Virginia or Maryland? Or
We live in Maryland. Yeah, we're just south of Washington, D.C. in Maryland.
All right, so you're in Southern Maryland. Okay, Annapolis in that area? Or
No. We're in actually an area called Fort Washington.
Okay, I know Fort Washington.
Just outside the Beltway.
Yeah, I know Fort Washington. Used to visit the National Church of God there.
Yes, that's our church.
You go to National Church of God? I knew Brother T.L. Lowry.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. His son is taking over now, and Stephen Lowry and Jan Lowry.
Really?
And they're doing a wonderful job, and we feel very blessed to be there.
All right. Yeah, it's a wonderful church, and I've known T.L. Lowry for many, many years. He's down in Cleveland, Tennessee these days, and in fact, I was hoping to get him on the program pretty soon. He's a wonderful saint of God. Okay, so now I know a little bit more about you. I know spiritually where you're coming from, and so the job of stenographer. I assume that Diane's responsibility was to write down and record everything that was being said on the floor of the house for. That would go into the congressional record. Is that basically what she does?
Yes, Rick, that's right. She's one of seven that rotate on a basic 10 to 15 minute basis, and they're responsible for everything that's spoken on the floor and on the from the speaker. And they're actually trained to convert it into the parliamentary conversation of the 1700s, is my understanding. So, in other words, it's not just taken down as verbatim, but it's taken down in to match the way it was with our founding fathers.
That's interesting. So it's a very important job historically, because the stenographers are charged with the responsibility of recording precisely what is said.
Exactly, and what they record becomes the record that is used, you know, to go back. We can go back to our founding fathers, as far as I know, and there would be a record of their words. And so everybody who speaks is bringing their ideas and their thoughts and their opinions and placing it in the record for that very purpose.
You know, as we're talking about this, the thought is occurring to me that it's interesting that God chose the stenographer who records what is said. He chose the stenographer to speak the message in the house.
Yes.
And I'm also wondering, I'm assuming that her words have been recorded and will have to be entered into the record.
That I'm not aware of. I wouldn't know that. But,
Think about it. I mean, legally.
Yes.
Legally, her words would have to be recorded because they were spoken from the podium. That's an interesting point.
It might also be depending on when in the matter of the record they were spoken. In other words, I think it was either at the conclusion or after a vote. So until the speaker the speaker's in charge of everything, and until maybe they open it up by recognizing a certain speaker, there may not be anything that would be recorded prior to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't know that.
But I do think it's interesting that God chose the stenographer who records for history, historical purposes, that she was chosen to deliver this message. Well, let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about your wife, Diane. Give us a brief understanding of who you are as a family, husband, wife, children.
Okay. Diane is, she was born in Long Island, and she went to college in Manhattan to be a court reporter and moved to Washington, D.C. soon after that. And she's actually, after several years of being a independent reporter, doing basically depositions, contract work around the city, she got a job at D.C. Superior Court and was there for about 10 years doing civil and criminal trials in the Superior Court system. And that weighed really heavily on her, because it's a lot of, you know, when you're dealing with murder cases and all the details and everything, you know, after a while that can be
very depressing,
pretty heavy. Yes. Mm-hmm. So she right after we had met and got married, she got a job at the House of Representatives and started out in committees, which you have committees for all the different appropriations and defense and that sort of thing. And so she would write on a daily basis for them, and then kind of as a perk or a promotion, she was promoted to the floor, where she became a floor reporter. And that's really what she loved, is if you ever watch C-SPAN, you see the reporters on the floor there. There's at least one, and sometimes two, depending on where they are in the record, doing the record. So it was a job that Diane loves, and she has such a tremendous respect for the Congress and the decorum of the House and the tradition. And so doing what she did, you know, really went against her sense of right, you know, in terms of bringing a disruption to the floor.
Mm-hmm. And how many years?
Never do that.
How many years did she work for the House, starting with the committees until she became a floor reporter?
I think it's about eight to 9 years.
All right, so she's got a long track record working inside the Capitol.
Oh yes, oh yes.
It's not like she's a temporary that they brought in, to work that night.
No. In fact, the grouping that's there with the officers and the men and women in security and the people who work for the clerk and all the different positions that are there are a very close-knit group, because they work together on a daily basis. And she's actually got to be, you know, to a certain extent, you can only be so friendly with, you know, the men and women of Congress. But it's just, there's a wonderful group of people there, and I'm not ashamed to say at all, she's looked upon and regarded very highly there.
I could tell in some of the media reports that even though the reporters were confused, they didn't know really how to handle what happened, and they were using words like bizarre, strange, all that kind of stuff. Yet in their reports, they acknowledge that your wife, Diane, is highly regarded by the members of Congress and the staff, and that she was described as a very kind, loving, stable, religious woman. And you know, some of the people were saying, well, maybe it was just the stress of all this tension going on in Washington. Maybe that's what happened. But I noticed that there was almost a sympathetic viewpoint towards your wife. And so I knew by just reading those comments, okay, this is a very well-liked woman. And so this has caught the Congress off guard. They can't figure this one out.
Exactly. She is she's a woman of integrity and honesty, and she has a very sweet spirit, and she loves the Lord, and you know, you see Jesus in her eyes. And so God, you know, he went right to the, I mean, she's my wife, and I love her, and I got nothing to do with that. He picked the cream of the crop, as far as I'm concerned, in his decision to bring forth this word through her.
Dan, when did this stirring of the Holy Spirit start in Diane?
Well, I'm just kind of all learning this, because, I mean, I knew she was going through something, and she really felt in her spirit that she wasn't to share it with anybody, and she was to keep it to herself. So I was kind of in the dark as what was going on, and I really kind of felt that, you know, God was doing something in her, and I didn't know more than to just pray for her, you know, at that point.
So this isn't something that you and her were sitting around the dinner table saying, and she was saying, you know, Dan, one of these days I'm going to go in there, and I'm just going to go off on them and tell them something.
No. I received a call last night when I was asleep, and that this had taken place, and I was, as I'd have to say, originally shocked, you know, as anybody else who knows Diane, by what had taken place.
What was your first reaction?
Well, it was somebody said you know, she walked up on the dais and started speaking, and she was removed. And I said, what? I mean, I just couldn't even picture it, you know. And it wasn't long after I got a call from Fox News, and, you know, then it all just kind of, you know, there was something on TV, and, you know, then there was a couple other calls, and this is at 11 o'clock at night, you know, and I'm a pretty good sleeper, so when I hit the sack, I was out, and, you know, to be woken up and then just be dealing with all this, it was kind of almost surreal, you know.
So all you know is your wife was at work at the Capitol as usual. They're having a late-night session. She's working late at night, as usual, and you're asleep, and you get a phone call telling you that your wife took control of the microphone and spoke something, and next thing you know, you've got news networks calling you.
Exactly. Now, let me, in saying that, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew something was going on because for what Diane said was 4 weeks prior to this, God had been working on her and basically gave her, and I don't want to use the wrong word, but I believe that she had an understanding that he wanted her to share something. And she was naturally fighting it. I mean, she loves this place. And, you know, people don't get up and do that. So it was a breaking of a breaking or a squeezing over the next 4 weeks. What I kind of likened, and not in any, you know, to what Jesus went through in Gethsemane, and what I think we all go through when God gets us to a place to say, you know what, it's not going to be your will, it's going to be my will. If you're a follower of me, you're going to do what I command of you to do. And so that's the real lordship test, you know, the salvation part. We're saved by grace, we thank you, Lord, but now, you know, pedal to the metal, you know, let's live this thing out with the lordship. And so
when did you first know that the Holy Spirit was convicting her to do something?
Well, I didn't know what was taking place, but what was happening was Diane was waking up throughout the night, and she would go downstairs from our bedroom and just get into the Word of God. And she would read for a couple hours and then fall asleep, and then she would wake up again and be in the Word of God. And that's, Rick, that is so of God, at least in our home, because, you know, none of us get up at 3 a.m. and get into the Word of God unless it's the Holy Spirit that's leading us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're heavy sleepers. When we sleep well. You know what I mean? So
we're
not light sleepers that go because we can't sleep. And so this is very out of the ordinary in terms of for Diane for this to take place. And that's what was happening. And what God was doing through his word and through just speaking to her heart is he was preparing her that she is going to do this. And it was basically a battle of the wills, as we all do when, you know, when something's laid before us that, you know, that, well, God, don't you want somebody else to do this? You know, that sort of thing. So I say for 4 weeks, she was kind of in this inner struggle and inner battle. And I would know that she wasn't in bed and she was downstairs and, you know, and she was going through something, but she wasn't sharing. And I had no idea, you know, what was taking place, but there was a lot of emotion involved in it, and there was emotion in her, and I could, you know, she was crying, and, you know, she was dying to self and to, you know, what she wanted to do and what she didn't want to do as she finally was obedient to the Lord. So that was kind of a precursor and a build up to what actually took place the other night.
Okay. After you got the phone calls, when did you first get a chance to talk with Diane?
Well, I when I found out last night, and then I finally got a hold of someone at the Capitol, and the Capitol Police had taken her, and they were basically just questioning her there. And then what they did was they had several officers escort her down to George Washington University Hospital because they wanted to do a psychiatric evaluation. And so they took her down there, and it was there that I was able to get there because somebody had to come over to watch my children at that point, and that was around 12:30 a.m. So by the time I finally got down there, and I was able to sit and talk with her, and it was, she wasn't really talking about it, and I didn't really know what to say, so it was a little awkward at first, and then
what was her state? Kind of, what was her state when you got there? What was she like?
Well, she was fine. I mean, she was, you know, she wasn't talkative or anything, but she wasn't, you know, she wasn't weepy or she wasn't out of sorts or anything at all. It's just like she was sitting there like, okay, let's, you know, get this done. I mean, you know, she had prepared. She had known, okay, I'm going to do this. And obviously, whenever anybody does anything out of order in the house, they get removed. And, you know, I mean, at least you're talking about a psychiatric evaluation, and if not, charges being brought up against you. But, you know, Diane didn't resist, and she said that everybody that took part in this, all the people, were just so sweet to her and nice to her. It was like God just gave her favor, you know, through the whole thing. They brought her to a much nicer hospital than they could have. And so it was like, in fact, somebody said, boy, they're really rolling the red carpet out for you tonight. And,
really?
You know, it was just the favor of the Lord. Yeah.
That's interesting.
You know, okay, all right, my daughter, now you did what I requested of you. Now, you know, let me show you, you know, how I respond in kind. And so it was just, this is all stuff she shared with me later, but, you know, just her remembrances of the night. So it wasn't any arm twisting or, you know, bright lights or anything like that. You know, it was very, very, it was very cordial.
When did she first open up and start telling you the details?
Well, it was interesting because we, they sent in a psychiatrist who was a resident there, who was a young man, and he walked in and he had a yarmulke on. And I just felt in my spirit, it was like, okay, Lord, thank you. You know, at least you sent us somebody who knows half of the book, you know. I mean, here's a man who's familiar with the Old Testament and will understand prophets and prophecy and that God speaks through people. And Diane kind of shared, and Rick, it was like we were tag team, and I felt, you know, that God was, I mean, I was trying not to butt in or anything, but I just felt at times, you know, just, you know, pointing out, you know, how the Holy Spirit operates and everything. So what they finally ended up saying was that, you know, we just believed that you had a religious experience. You know, they were trying to put psychological terminology to what we know as a move of God, you know. So
that's what they said during the mental evaluation. They said she had a religious experience.
A religious experience, yes. And they requested that we see her personal physician today, and also see a spiritual counselor, which, you know, we would want to talk to our pastors about this anyway, and so that was our plan anyway. So, but what was kind of interesting was last night it was a spiritual experience, and today when she went to her doctor, they had bumped up the prognosis to, I think she said something like potential psychosis. In other words, that they're trying to make it sound even more and more like a mental breakdown, you know, than anything else. And, you know, you don't let somebody with a potential psychosis go home on their own, you know. So it was kind of interesting how that was bumped up, and for whatever reason, you know, I'm sure we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Have any idea who's behind that little move?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, the real psychotics in the house. That's who. So tell me again, when Diane, did she start to tell you, Dan, listen, I got to tell you, this is what was going on these 4 weeks. The Lord was waking me up. I was getting up in the middle of the night. I was praying. Did she go into that and explain that to you?
Not so much. I think I kind of realized, you know, because, I mean, I've been a witness as to what's been going on, but until this happened or until I was there with her, I couldn't put it together. I didn't know what she was going through. I just knew she was going through something. And, you know, she had a tremendous relief that for the last 4 weeks, as I might have alluded to earlier, it was like she had a pregnancy, and she finally was able to deliver that baby, and it was a very painful thing. And that's why she's really not even speaking about it tonight. She feels like she's kind of done, you know, and she just needs a break from it and wants to spend time with her children. So, God's just put the burden in me that, you know, wow, we got to talk about this, you know. This is our God speaking to us, and who have ears to hear need to hear, you know, what he's saying.
Dan, have you heard the audio of Diane's words?
I haven't really sat down and listened to it. I just kind of tried to avoid the whole TV and media thing just because, you know, it can be so negative, and, you know, I just didn't want to. I mean, you know what? Diane feels so relieved and such a weight lifted, like, she has done, you know, what God called her to do, and we just feel, you know, we're just in God's hands concerning this, and we don't know what's going to happen. Thankfully, no charges have been brought against her. We don't know. She's been put on administrative leave, and but we, you know, as I said, Diane, she doesn't disrespect the house like what she did. I mean this is, you know, for that only, that reason only, I so know that this is God, you know, other than, you know, what was said and so many other things, but just for her regard for the house and the protocol and everything, and her respect for our country and just what you know, the body is all about. So
well, you know, just to paraphrase, and again, you know, we just have, you know, a partial soundbite that of what she said. But she said, God will not be mocked. America is not one nation under God. The Constitution was written by Freemasons whom oppose God. And do you have any thoughts of why these words were spoken?
Well, she shared with me when she actually stepped up to the podium that she didn't know what she was going to say, that those words that came out were what she prayed, you know, Lord, I'm your vessel, you speak through me. So her belief is, and my belief is that those words came from God. It's not like he coached her, she memorized the words or anything like that. In fact, afterwards, I don't even think she remembered what she said. And her point, because the doctor last night was asking her about that, about, you know, certain specific words that she might have shared, and she was like, you know, I was just the vessel that God was speaking through, and it wasn't for me to know what, you know, what I said. It was for who was hearing it, and what they heard, and whether they heard it. And
of course, you know, if you tell a psychiatrist that God speaks to you, they already think you're crazy.
Well, and that's, you know, what we felt, that, you know, we were shown the favor of the Lord by having this young man of, you know, who had this Jewish background and had a clear understanding of the Old Testament, that, mm-hmm. you know, I just said, you know, I mean, you know how God used prophets, and, you know, no one ever clapped when the prophet spoke in the Old Testament, you know. Usually it was rocks, you know. So,
yeah, Jeremiah, you know, got thrown. Yeah, Jeremiah was thrown into the, you know, into
exactly.
The well. The people said,
yeah.
we're going to tell the king what you said. We're going to tell the government what you said. So
right.
All prophets have always been treated with that kind of harshness. But, you know, for these words to be spoken as the House is voting to suspend the debt ceiling, it's not just lifting it, they suspended the debt ceiling. Mr. Obama now has a blank check to borrow all the money he wants to borrow between now and I think February 7th, whatever the date is. And then the division that's been in the country and the strife, and we're on the verge of a civil war, and the way the veterans were being treated and senior citizens being treated harshly in national parks, and, you know, just all the stuff going on. It you know, to me, I'm personally interpreting this as that the Holy Spirit was saying to America, your country's being ripped apart.
Yeah.
And the people who are behind it are the Freemasons, who have always opposed the will of God. And you know, I think we need to, I think God is sounding the alarm to the American people. Your country is being taken away from you. And to say that the Constitution was written by Freemasons, well, that's an historical fact. Many of the members of the Constitutional Convention were Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what is taking place right now with the destruction of the Republic is this is planned destruction. This is what's called creative destruction, deliberately destroying something in order to create something new. And what is being created is you know, that the Freemasons, the Illuminati, are what they're seeking to do is to end the Constitutional Republic as we have known it to install a new form of government, which is going to be extremely totalitarian, because we can see it, Dan, with the NSA spying,
yeah,
with the TSA groping people. Even the park police now are, you know, they don't wear green uniforms, they wear brown shirts. Even the park police have become aggressive and hostile towards citizens. So there's a spirit coming into the country that is vile, it's nasty, it's oppressive, and we're seeing things happening in the past month that nobody in this country has ever seen. You know, the idea of veterans being treated so harshly, I never imagined in my life that we would see American veterans treated with the contempt that was shown to them in the past month. And so there is a spirit that's rising up in the country. And I suspect that the Lord is sounding the alarm to us that beware. There are sinister evil forces at work right now. And I think he's trying to tell us who it is. And that his church needs to be praying and interceding against it. That's my thought. That's my thought.
Yeah. You know, nothing happens on the earth until it takes place in the spirit realm, you know, and our battle is not against flesh and blood, you know, but those principalities and powers. And this country has been founded on some incredible principles, but there was also a lot of tares sown with the wheat.
That's right.
We see it choking out, you know, what this country has founded for and what it's been meant for.
That's the word the Lord gave me last November when Barack Obama won re-election. And I asked the Lord, tell me what's happening. And very clearly he said, the tares outnumber the wheat. For the first time in this country, the tares outnumber the wheat.
Yeah.
The subject of Freemasonry and the Illuminati, is this something Diane talks about often?
No. I don't think I've ever heard her discuss it.
See, that's what I was just wondering, because, you know, I can't imagine my wife, Susan, you know, talking about Freemasons and the Illuminati. And so I was just wondering, is this an unusual topic for you as a husband to hear that your wife was talking about Freemasons running the country?
Yeah, like I said, I hadn't heard the exact quote. I heard something about Masons, but I didn't know what exactly the quote was.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because my feeling, as Diane shared, was that the words she brought forth were directly from the Lord, and it wasn't like she did a bunch of research and was able to then opine on it as a result of it, that it was just something that God spoke through her. So
there are a couple of phrases that I didn't hear. I'm just going by what is reported, where other members of Congress said that they heard. One person said that she said, "You cannot serve two masters." In fact, there was a congressman. He said, "Yeah, she was shouting something about you can't serve two masters." You know, I thought, Congressman, you might want to think about it. Maybe the God of the universe is talking to you, Congressman. You know,
yes.
Somebody else said that she told them that they were sons of the devil. Now, again, I didn't hear those words in the recording. This is in one of the articles. I believe God gave a prophetic utterance through your wife. I believe it was an utterance from the Holy Spirit, a very, very solemn, very severe prophetic warning to the people of the United States.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that's she prepared. She was prepared for it, and she gave it. And as a scribe does, they're all about words. And he gave her the words, and she recorded the words, or spoke the words, and she feels her job is done.
Dan, what do you believe? What do you believe the repercussions are for you and Diane?
Well, I don't know. She's on administrative leave, and I certainly think that it's a fireable offense, and you know what? We just feel so much at peace in God's hands that though it was such a wonderful job, besides the benefits and, you know, the salary and the people and being able to work in the capital of the United States, what an incredible job. But, you know, our God of the universe has, you know, he's got a bigger bank account, and it's not running in a deficit either. So we put our trust in him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know our radio audience will be praying for you and Diane and your family, and that the Lord would be holding you up and sustaining you and strengthening you. And we pray that that nothing evil is done against Diane, that anybody that has any evil scheme, that it would come to naught, and that the Lord would just protect his handmaiden who obeyed him and showed great bravery in obeying the Holy Spirit's instructions to speak a prophetic warning to the House of Representatives and really to the nation, because it wasn't just to the House. It went out to the whole nation. In fact, it made headlines around the world. So there was a message that people heard throughout the United States, and it's another warning. I've seen so many of these over the years, and yet the American people just continue on their way, and they're marching towards the destruction of the land, and they're not heeding these prophetic voices. But God will have in his courthouse in heaven, he will have a binder full of evidence that he repeatedly spoke through people to warn the people of the United States to repent of their sins, to turn away from their idols, and to come back to him, and that he would forgive them, and he would restore the land. And so, Dan, I'm just very grateful that you would take this time to come on True News. And I just want you to tell Diane that there will be many, many people all over the United States and Canada and Australia and Europe who will be uplifting her and praying for her, that her strength would return, and that God would open up the next chapter in her life and provide for her. So thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Rick, thank you very much. We appreciate all you're doing, and a sane voice in the insanity of this world is certainly it needs to be heard, and you're doing an incredible work, and we appreciate that as well. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. God wants believers to delight in Him, obediently answer His call, and serve Him diligently. Here's today's moment with Charles Stanley.
What are you taking delight in? Your desires or in God? Do you know what it means to delight yourself? We're delighted in the truth that we're filled with His Spirit. We're delighted, Father. I'm delighted that you have redeemed me, sanctified me. I'm delighted that you've justified me. I'm delighted that you've sanctified me. Delighted that you have glorified me in your mind already. Delighted in who you are, what you do, how you work, and the amazing, miraculous things, and how you control everything that is in existence, and how you're in absolute control. Delighted to see what you've done. Delighted to see what you're going to do. Is that the emphasis of our thinking, or we always just want something? You want the desires of your heart? Step number one, delight yourself in Him. Now listen, if you're honest, you'll have to ask yourself the question, God, have I really been delighting myself in you, or have I been delighting myself in my desires and in myself? Lord, am I preoccupied with self, or am I wonderfully occupied with you? Now, I know how people answer. Sometimes you'll say, well, look, let me tell you something. I work 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and I've got a family and all the affairs of life that I have to take care of. And you're telling me I ought to be preoccupied with God? Yes, absolutely. How can you be preoccupied with God when there's so much going on? Because He lives on the inside of every single believer. And as you and I are thinking about whatever we are doing in life, whether it is in our family, our finances, our relationships, the work that you do, 8 hours a day, it may be something that you do that's, it may be a monotonous thing as far as the world is concerned, but you're doing it. But you know what? You and I can be thinking about the Lord. We should sift all of our thinking through Him. How we are doing our job. Are we doing our best? Are you pleased with this, Lord? Is this the best I can do? Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the health. Listen, our whole life should center around not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not His desire to withhold anything. Remember, He's not a stingy, tight God. He is a generous God, ready and willing to give us the desires of our heart.
Learn why your life needs to be centered on Jesus Christ. Visit us at intouch.org and click All Things Are New.
Well, you're listening to True News, your alternative source for global news, analysis, and commentary. I'm Rick Wiles. In the first segment of the program, we heard from Mr. Dan Reedy, husband of House stenographer Diane Reedy. And while members of the House were voting to rubber stamp the Senate's endless borrowing authorization for Barry Satoro to plunge this nation deeper into debt, debt that could never be repaid, Mrs. Reedy walked up to Speaker Boehner's podium and briefly took control of the microphone. Florida Republican Congresswoman Elena Rosleitanen told Fox News that Mrs. Reedy, quote, came up to the podium area beneath where I was standing and asked me if the microphones were on. I said that I didn't know. I assumed that perhaps I was chatting too much to the helpful parliamentarians around me. Then she suddenly faced the front and said words something like, "Thus says the Lord, this is not the Lord's work." And as we heard, in the soundbite at the beginning of the program, Diane said, "God will not be mocked." She said, "The greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No, it would not have been. The Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise forever." Well, what does this mean? Well, to the average person, it was just another weird event in Washington, D.C. To the news media, it was just another kooky Christian ranting about God and Freemasons and conspiracy theories. But I think you and I know better. Because once again, Almighty God chose an unknown vessel, a humble, quiet woman, to speak to the powerful and mighty rulers of this nation. And I think it's significant that he chose a stenographer to do the job. First, the Lord couldn't find a member of Congress who even heard his voice and was willing to be obedient. Second, he chose a lowly employee whose job it is to record for the official record books the words spoken in the chamber. It was like he was saying, "Listen up, these words are going to be recorded in my books in heaven." Now, if this was truly a prophetic utterance from God, then I believe what the Lord was saying to America is this. The idea that your country is one nation under me is the greatest deception in the land. You've deceived yourself, America, by repeating this lie to yourself, that you're one nation under God. And the Lord was saying, your Constitution was written by Freemasons, and they are in direct opposition to my kingdom. And you cannot serve two masters. You must choose between your Freemason masters or Almighty God. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is to be praised forever. That's my paraphrase of what I believe the Holy Spirit was saying through Diane Reedy. And although the high and mighty men and women in the House chamber scoffed at her words, deep down in their souls, they knew exactly what she was saying when she declared the country never was under God because it was founded by Freemasons who opposed the will of God. And they knew what she meant when she said they could not serve two masters. God was not referring to money. He was referring to the Illuminati Freemason synagogue of Satan cabal that is secretly manipulating the affairs of this nation. The Lord was telling the high and mighty rulers of Washington at the highest levels of the congressional leadership and the power structure in the Capitol that they could not continue carrying out the orders of Freemasonry and still claim to be serving God. Because you cannot serve two masters. And when you're in Freemasonry, you have a grand master. And they call him the most worshipful master. But that is blasphemy because there is only one who is worthy to be worshipped, and his name is Jesus Christ. Many of those congressional leaders who were pushing that night for the increase in the debt ceiling knew America's astronomical national debt will eventually destroy the republic. They knew what they were doing. They knew that they were deliberately doing something that would bring ruination upon the nation. They knew that the creative destruction of the republic is what their Freemason Illuminati synagogue of Satan masters are orchestrating and ordering them to do. Because all of us have said, as we've watched this spectacle go on in Washington, nobody in their right mind would make the decisions that these men and women are making. Anybody with common sense knows it will end up with the nation being destroyed. So why are they making those decisions? Because their Illuminati Freemason synagogue of Satan masters are telling them to do it for the very purpose of destroying the nation. Why? Because in the chaos of disorder, they will bring forth their new world order. That's always been the agenda and the plan. You know, over the years, nobody has questioned Barack Obama about his possible membership in the Prince Hall Freemasons. Is he a member? I can't say for sure, but in the early phase of his first presidential campaign in 2007 and 2008, He often campaigned inside Freemason lodges across the United States. That's an historical fact. You can look it up and you can follow his campaign activities in 2007 and the early months of 2008, before he won the Democratic presidential nomination. He often spoke in Freemason lodges. For example, the Des Moines Register newspaper featured a photograph of Senator Barack Obama speaking in Iowa on December 28, 2007. The caption under the photograph said, "Barack Obama speaking at the Scottish Rite Masonic Center in Des Moines on Thursday criticized other Democrats' votes to authorize the war in Iraq." Another Des Moines Register newspaper article stated this sentence in an article about the history of the Prince Hall Freemason Lodges. The Iowa paper said, quote, "One of their most famous members and also a 32nd degree Prince Hall Mason became a U.S. candidate for president in 2008. His name is Barack Hussein Obama." End of quote. So the Des Moines Register newspaper had reason to believe that Barack Obama was a 32nd degree Prince Hall Freemason. Who was Prince Hall? Prince Hall was a black slave in Massachusetts. He earned his freedom in 1770. Prince Hall and 14 other free black men in the Boston area approached a nearby British Army Lodge of Freemasons attached to the 38th Foot Regiment. The black men were initiated into the Boston Lodge of Freemasons on March 6, 1775. In July of that year, they formed the African Lodge No. 1, and it was the first lodge of black Freemasons in the world. Hall was made lodge master by Provincial Grand Master of North America, John Rowe. Prince Hall organized additional black Masonic lodges in the new country of the United States until his death in 1807. Now, according to the Des Moines Register, Mr. Obama is a 32nd degree Freemason in the Prince Hall Lodge. I remember in 2008 seeing on the Obama campaign website a comment posted by a young supporter who said she was elated to know that Barack Obama was a Prince Hall Freemason. And that comment stayed on the Obama campaign website throughout the entire presidential campaign. They never bothered to delete it. Now, I don't have enough time to give you a full discourse about the history of Freemasonry in the U.S. Most Christians really don't want to know the truth because it would spoil their patriotic vision of history. The truth is, many of the country's founding fathers were Freemasons. President George Washington officiated on September 18, 1793, at the laying of the cornerstone for the United States Capitol building. Washington was dressed in full Masonic regalia. He led a procession of Masonic officers and brethren to the site of the new Capitol building. To this day, the Freemasons boast that the cornerstone of the U.S. Capitol building was laid by a Freemason. In fact, most city halls, most county courthouses throughout this nation have a Masonic cornerstone. And that cornerstone in all those city hall buildings and county courthouses signifies that the government of this nation was built by Freemasonry on the principles of Freemasonry. There's no Holy Bible in the cornerstones of these city halls and county courthouses. It's Freemasonry. And again, it signifies that the government of this nation was built by and for Freemasons. If you look at the website of the D.C. Grand Lodge in Washington, it says on the page about the initiated eye, secret symbols, Freemasonry, and the architecture of Washington. It says this: "The tradition of Masonic architecture in the United States is grounded in a history far older than the establishment of this country. Many of this nation's founding fathers were themselves Freemasons, and the Masonic stamp is visible throughout the city of Washington, D.C., and the surrounding metropolitan area and the entire country. End of quote. In fact, the website discloses that the Washington Navy Yard was one of the first Freemason lodges in Washington. It was Lodge Number 4, founded in 1805. Perhaps the seat of Freemasonry inside the Washington Navy Yard is the source of the electromagnetic frequencies that Aaron Alexis was searching for on the day that he went insane and shot and killed 12 people inside the Washington Navy Yard. The Masonic cornerstone of the U.S. Capitol building is what the Lord was denouncing on Wednesday night through Diane Reedy. The Holy Spirit was declaring this country never was one nation under God because it was founded by Masons. You see, my friend, we have been two nations for centuries. Two nations living side by side. A nation of wheat and a nation of tares. A nation of Christian wheat and a nation of Masonic tares. We never were one nation under God. The wheat were one people inside the nation under God, but the nation was not one. It was not under God. The synagogue of Satan is in its final stage of destroying the entity that they created in the first place. This world belongs to Satan, and the governments of this world belong to Satan. So don't lament what is happening to the United States of America. What you and I have believed to be true is a lie. It is time that we swear our allegiance to the one King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put away all of the symbols that we've had in our mind and in our hearts, believing it was true. Only Jesus Christ is true. He is our King. He is our God. We do not serve a worshipful master of a grand lodge. We serve the one and only God who is worthy to be worshipped, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what the Lord was crying out to this nation on Wednesday night through that stenographer, Diane Reedy. The news media mocked her. The congressmen scoffed at her. They just shook their head. Another crazy night here in Washington. No, they're the ones who are crazy. They're the ones who are insane. And a living God who loves the people in this nation was crying out, "Separate yourself from this evil." Personally, I repented to God that I spent so many years of my life romantically linked to a notion about this country that wasn't what I thought it was, and refusing to accept all along the truth about its origins under Freemasonry. I've made my allegiance to spend the rest of my life serving the kingdom of God, not man's governments, not man's visions of what the world should be, but the kingdom of God. The wheat is now outnumbered by the tares in America. The Christian subculture of this nation is being eradicated by the New America. And the New America is nothing but old Babylon coming back to life. I'm Rick Wiles. Think about it. I'll see you on the next program.